Every man has a conscience, and we are not ignorant of God's ways. It's a natural part of every man. We're created in the image of God, and we know better when we sin. Now, the New Testament speaks of a seared conscience, a weak conscience, a defiled conscience, a good conscience, a blameless conscience. You can do quite a few things with your conscience. It is not a sure guide, because we can sear it as with a branding iron. 1 Timothy 4 speaks of conscience and seared as with a branding iron. But it never fully stops operating. Look at verse 15. Alternately accusing or else defending. I don't care how low a man falls, his conscience still semi-works.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue on our study of the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings the sixth and final part of a message titled Principles of Judgment. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
With all the light in America, a self-willed American who belligerently and stubbornly refuses God's grace will be held to a stricter standard than one who lives in a land where he hears very little of the gospel. The Lord Jesus, on more than one occasion, spoke of this very thing. Listen to him in Luke 10, stating this very principle. Whatever city you enter, he said, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Just think of what it is to turn down the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woe to you, Chorazin, Jesus went on. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Speaking of cities right there, towns that the gospel had been preached in, that he'd been to. For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. No, a man will be held to the light that he has. Now again, look at verse 12 and following. We're not talking about salvation here, are we? We're talking about judgment and perishing. And read there for the word law. Just read Bible, because we're talking about knowledge of God's word, the scripture. Okay? All who've sinned without the Bible will also perish without the Bible. And all who've sinned under the law, under the Bible, will be judged by the word of God. We're speaking of judgment and perishing. And we're speaking to the privilege that man has, the privileged ones. It's not the point that someone knows the facts or knows the scripture. No, it's responding to the scripture. Just knowledge of God's word, just knowledge of the bare facts, it only further condemns. It only heightens our responsibility to respond. Am I speaking to you? You've been raised in the church. You know these things. You could rattle them off. But you've never responded. You've never humbled yourself. Oh, God will hold those who know more accountable. The principle, verse 13, not the hearers of the Bible or the law are just before God, but the doers of the word. You see, it's responding. The obedience of faith that Romans is called for from the fifth verse in the introduction all the way to chapter 16, verse 26, when he calls for the obedience of faith that he's after. Now somebody objects, well, God can't hold ignorant savages accountable then, huh? Yeah, he can. Why? Because they're not ignorant. They're not ignorant. Look at verse 14. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness in their thoughts, alternately accusing or else defending them. You see, God has given us an external witness, the creation, chapter 1, the whole race is guilty. And he's given us an internal witness, our conscience. Every man has a conscience. And we are not ignorant of God's ways. It's a natural part of every man. We're created in the image of God, and we know better when we sin. Now, the New Testament speaks of a seared conscience, a weak conscience, a defiled conscience, a good conscience, a blameless conscience. You can do quite a few things with your conscience. It is not a sure guide, because we can sear it as with a branding iron. 1 Timothy 4 speaks of conscience and seared as with a branding iron. But it never fully stops operating. Look at verse 15. Alternately accusing or else defending. I don't care how low a man falls, his conscience still semi-works. I don't care how much he's seared it. Maybe you've convinced yourself that because everybody else is sinful and everybody else is doing these things, you won't stand before a righteous God. But you know deep down, no matter how much you've dulled that conscience, you know. Look at verse 32 of chapter 1. I mean, after we got to the depths of chapter 1, although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. The conscience never fully stops operating. And that's grace, by the way, because only Jesus Christ can cleanse your conscience. And the very fact that you know better, that I know better, that no matter how much you've heard or haven't heard from the Bible, there's a voice within. And so you see, no matter how low a man falls, he still knows better. That's God's grace, that he still allows the conscience to function. Because, notice, look at the key phrase, verse 15. It's alternately accusing or else defending. And I meet people who've lowered their standards to where they have none, it seems. And yet they don't even meet those standards. And they still know sometimes that they're breaking those standards, let alone the righteous standards of God. Sixth principle, verse 16. The judgment of God will be absolutely thorough. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men. Oh, that's a chilling thought, isn't it? The secrets of men will be judged. You know, men, we just by nature, we think that we can hide things and get them by God. But he will judge the secrets of men, it says. The scripture says he'll judge our feelings, our heart, our minds, our motives. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Our very motives. Even the good things we did for wrong motives. The nice things we did for very unnice reasons. All these things will come before God. His judgment will be absolutely thorough. Our Lord said this in Matthew 12. I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. Every careless word. Well, I didn't remember I said it. Every careless word, the Lord said. Pay heed, the psalmist says, Psalm 94. You senseless among the people. And when will you understand, stupid ones, he says. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are a mere breath. Everything will come into judgment. Ecclesiastes closes the last verse of Ecclesiastes. God will bring every act to judgment. Everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Our Lord in Luke 12 put it this way. There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you've whispered in the inner rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. I'll warn you whom to fear. Now, this is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. God will bring everything into judgment. You spurn Jesus Christ and you will stand before God and he will judge the very secrets of your heart. Sometimes men tell me, and I'm always shocked, in talking to a person, one-on-one in a personal interview, and they'll say, well, I think I could stand before God. I'm not that bad a person. Or they'll speak as if they haven't really sinned. And I'll often say to them, wait a minute. Let's just suppose that I had a videotape of your thought life, for, say, the last 24 hours. And I'm going to play that tape on the wall here. Are you trying to tell me that you'd want to see that, or you'd want anyone else to see that? And if they're honest at all, the man who's deceived himself into thinking he's a pretty nice guy, when he realizes that God has a videotape of his thought life, not just his deeds, his very thoughts. Would you like the last 48 hours of your thought life broadcast? It'd be defiling, wouldn't it? God knows everything. The things that are whispered, they're going to be proclaimed. Oh, how sobering verse 16 is. He's going to judge the secrets of men. I mean, if that doesn't cause you to fear, I don't know what will. Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill you, and after that they can't do anything. I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God, whom after you've died has the authority to cast you into hell. Yes, fear him. Judgment is real. God's wrath will fall on all Christ rejectors, and it will fall on all their deeds and all their thoughts, all their secrets, everything. And if these six principles are sobering, and I can't think of anything quite as sobering, then look at the seventh principle, verse 16. God's judgment will be through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, for not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. John 5:22. As fearful as the sixth principle is, that he's going to judge according to the very secrets, As fearful as all those are, that it's inevitable, that it's according to deeds, that it's according to truth, that it will be righteous judgment, that it will be unavoidable, that it will be according to the light we've spurned. As fearful as all these things are, isn't it more fearful to realize that it will be judgment by or through the very one who died for you and you spurned him? Oh, I repeat it. I know today that you can spurn Christ. You can ignore him, and millions do. The broad road that leads to destruction, Jesus said, that's the popular way, the freeway. Many are on it. It leads to destruction. Most people spurn Christ. But everyone will one day know him, either as Savior today or as judge tomorrow. On the day when, look at verse 16, memorize it. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Now, I think what happens is that people have heard so long of a mild and meek Jesus, who as a lamb was led to slaughter, that they start to think, oh, well, it'll be Jesus. It'll be Jesus. It'll be okay. Oh, Christ rejecter. Am I speaking to you? You say, well, I don't reject him. I just have never really, I'm not in. Listen, you're either for me or against me, Jesus said. If you've spurned him, don't comfort yourself for a moment in his meekness, that he was a lamb led to slaughter. Yes, he came the first time humble and mounted on a donkey. And yes, he came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yes, as a lamb that was led to slaughter, so he did not open his mouth. But when I turn to the book of Revelation, I find that he is 29 times referred to as the Lamb. And the Lamb will come in judgment, and he will not come gentle on a donkey's colt. He will come as a warrior, and the word of God will come like a sharp two-edged sword out of his mouth, and he will be mounted on a white horse. And even in his character, and 29 times he's called the Lamb, listen to what Revelation says. The stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. And the sky was split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man, everybody, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? No one. The Lamb who laid his life down for you will come in wrath and judgment. And the Bible says it over and over, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Paul stood and he told the intellectuals of his day in Athens, he said, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Judgment will be through Jesus Christ, the one you spurned. Oh, don't just assume everything will be okay or that you can somehow avoid judgment. No, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, the scripture says, verse 4 of our text. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. That's who we're talking with, about Jesus Christ. He will judge the living and the dead. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, declares the Lord. That's the Christ of the Bible. Don't kid yourself and just kind of make up a little caricature of Jesus Christ. He's saying today, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But there's coming a day. And he told us specifically that the door will close. Once the head of the house gets up and closes the door, he said, people say, oh, well, I want it in. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. And Jesus said, now, listen up. Come today. While it is still today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, I hate to stop because there's so much that needs to be said here, but let me just summarize. And this chapter through the first 16 verses is just full of application. You say, I'm a Christian. I've come to Christ. I know these things. Listen carefully and think back through the chapter with me just very briefly, and I'll just simply state the principles, but let's let them sink in before we close. First of all, man's self-righteous deceitfulness, in other words, hypocrisy, is so evident in the fact that we are quick to judge others but not ourselves, verse 1. Therefore, you are without excuse, every man of you. We're quick to point at the people in chapter 1 or some sin that we've never been caught up in or we quit doing or whatever and put the blame outward. Man's self-righteous, deceitful hypocrisy is so evident in our ability to judge others and not ourselves. Secondly, God's patience, God's goodness, verse 4, his forbearance, his patience leads either to repentance, which is what it's designed to do, or hardness. Third, any teaching that tends towards security in sin is quite obviously suspect. Any teaching, I don't care where it's coming from, what pulpit, what church, What series of churches? How much we're saying it today? Any teaching that tends to just breed security and sin, don't worry about it, kind of tone, is not biblical. It's not biblical. It's very suspect. Fourth, all men, regardless of how much light they have, are going to stand before God without excuse. Every man sins against the light he has. You say, I didn't know as much as someone else. You know enough. And what should I say to us in this room? We have so much light. All men will stand before God without excuse, no matter how much light or lack of light they would claim. Fifth, the gospel of grace in no way dispenses with judgment. Just because we proclaim a gospel of grace, in no way kind of deals with judgment. We don't have to talk about a God of judgment anymore. Oh, no. According to my gospel, Paul says, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. Sixth, men who think they can hide from God are self-deceived. Men who think they can argue with God, self-deceived. Oh, there is nothing the deceiver would like more than to make you think, to deceive you on this point. Don't be deceived. Seventh, the one who died for salvation is the one who will sit in judgment. You'll either know him as your Savior or your judge. He who believes in him is not judged. I'll close where we closed last time. He who believes in him is not judged. The gospel, I want to look ahead to chapter 3. If you're not ready for a Savior now, when will you be? He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is not judged. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Judgment must fall, and judgment fell at the cross. He who believes in him will not perish, but has eternal life. God didn't send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But don't spurn his grace. Come to Christ today, and judgment will fall on the just one for the unjust. You will be cleansed and forgiven. And you'll be able to say, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, Jesus said. Oh, judgment must fall. But judgment fell at Calvary, and if you will flee to Christ, if you will cling to Christ, you can be spared the judgment of your sin. It fell on another, the Lord Jesus, who died and rose again on your behalf.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Principles of Judgment, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us for our live online Sunday worship service at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. You can find us live on YouTube by searching for SW Bible Live or go to swbible.org and click on Live Stream. We also broadcast the service live on the radio on True Talk 800 a.m. It's best to check the 800 a.m. program guide for up-to-the-minute schedule adjustments. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
What's the key to hypocrisy? Well, pretty simple. Just what he says in Romans 2. They say things, but they don't do them. Oh, listen up. They sit themselves in the pulpits, you know. They've got a lot to say, but he said, don't do what they do. Just do what they say, because they're hypocrites. They say things, but they don't do them. That's the key to understanding hypocrisy. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with as much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments, and they love the places of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplace and being called by men rabbi. He says, oh, look at them. They love to tie up heavy loads. You know, one of the great reasons for fallout in Christianity is that kind of hypocrisy. And in fact, I'll bring it closer to home, parents. No one will see hypocrisy more clearly and more thoroughly than your children.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings the first part of a message titled Religious Hypocrisy. Till then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.